Abitabach. We're going to continue what we began discussing last week, but it will be also a standalone, meaning if you haven't heard last week, I think you'll be fine just picking up with us now. The bottom line of what we spoke about last week, and forgive me if there's overlap, I don't remember exactly what was said and what wasn't, but the bottom line was the understanding that when we're talking about the stakes of Yom HaDin, when we're talking about life versus death, the understanding that, if we'll put it bluntly and gruffly, death is not the end of the world. Death is the beginning of life. The main question is, how am I going to be starting off that life? And that is the stakier question. Now, the system of Yom HaDin once a year is there to remind us that you don't have forever. You're going to want to make out of yourself, when that time comes, the ultimate being you can be. You want to have the highest level of existence possible, or the greatest, call it, quality of life. In other words, each of us are handed an open check when we enter this world. And it's up to us to decide what we're going to do with that open check. If we're going to fill it out, how much we're going to fill it out for, or if we want to use it as a grocery list, the other side of it, or perhaps even as a tissue. So,
open check. Does everybody have the same potential coming in? I have heard that like different people have different potentials coming in. Like, you know, you could be the head of the generation, but not everybody could be the Nasi of the generation or whatever.
Okay, we'll touch on that. The question is, does everybody really have the same potential? The answer is yes, and the answer is no. People can't become the same as the other person can become objectively. Everybody has their own individual kaychas, etc. But in terms of, are you capable of making the most out of the opportunities granted to you? Everybody is basically on the same page. What's that?
Everybody has their
tough kid, and that's the issue. Are you taking the opportunities given to you, the challenges given to you, which are really synonymous, and utilizing whatever life gives you, whatever Hashem hands you, to make the most out of it? And this is what we want to talk about a bit more. And the specific perspective that we gave on this last week was understanding that actually man is something very, very great. And it's up to us to bring out of ourselves the true tzuras of him, to live up to that very, very great being that Hashem was envisioning when he created man. And this is something that's entirely subjective, meaning this is not an issue of, you want to reach the potential of man, you have to be a person who is having a worldwide impact. If you have 10,000 talmidim, you make second tier of a tzuras adam. But if you have 100,000, then you are the ultimate tzuras adam. No, this is something that is, each neshama is its own story. Each neshama has its own place in Hashem's broad scheme of things. And it's a very subjective individual business. And this is what we're going to elaborate on a bit now. In the specific perspective of Elul, it's an issue of, I'm coming to the Yom HaDin, I want to be able to show Hashem. Hashem's purpose in the world is because he wants more of those Adams. Each Adam is something very, very precious to Hashem. Each individual neshama, no two are alike. Every neshama is something very precious to Hashem. And what I want to be able to come and tell Hashem is, I am going to be presenting you with that optimal Adam that I can be. Just a little tidbit that I'll add in. I don't know if I should call it that. It's not respectful. But another point that I'll throw in before we really go on and develop this is that We say, when we eat the head of the fish, we say, let us be head and not the tail. So Reb Tzadok HaKohen, one of the very, very deep thinkers from about, not sure exactly, 150 to 200 years ago, Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, he asked the question. He said, we have this tefillah saying that we want to be l'roish v'loy l'zanov. We want to be a head, not a tail. I said, who said it's better to be a head than a tail necessarily? We have a statement in Chazal, mamish, to the opposite effect. Chazal say, better to be the tail of lions than to be the head of a fox. In other words, better to be at the lower end of a greater group of people, right? Better to be in a society with higher standards, even if you're not at the top of that society, than to be at the top of a society with lower standards. So in this sense, it's better to be a zanav and not a roish. Better to be the tail of a greater being than the head of a lower being. So why are we emphasizing that we should be the head and not the tail? So Tzadik says something amazing, which is really the point that we're going to be getting to. He says, when we talk about the head versus the tail, we're not talking about in the social plane. We're talking about in the personal plane. Is the being that I could be. Is the being that I could be. There's the potential me. Am I going to end up the head of that being? Or am I going to end up the tail of that being? I can end up being the tail of what I could have been. Or I can end up being the head of what I could have been. And we're davening that Hashem should give us the koiches and the seichel to become the head of the being that I could be. Is everybody with me on that? Okay. So now let's move on and develop this point a little further and then try to put it into practical perspective, not just keep it in the air. I remember one time when we were at the border, traveling either from here to there or from there to here, and we had a baby who was 2.5 or something at the time. The passport picture was a picture of a newborn infant, right? And a newborn infant, which you kind of wonder, what's the purpose of that picture once the kid is 4 years old, right? So the police woman at the border, she's looking at the passport and she's looking at the kid. She's looking, and she said, okay. So we asked her, kind of like amusedly, we said, what were you able to see? Like, you're able to, it's a newborn infant. What were you able to see? So she said, no, they train, I said, like, you saw this is the same person? Like, what? So she said, no, they train us to note certain, she said, tavei panim, like there are certain lines on the face, whatever it is. They train us to look for that and to be able to identify it in the person. So we actually could. That was what she said. What do I want from that? What I want from that is that we'll take it a little further. We'll take it to a much deeper concept. Bear with me. We're going to get back to, you know, we will land on Earth again, but let's go for a little bit of a flight. Yaakov Avinu fell asleep and had a dream. He dreamed of a ladder going up to Shamayim, and there are malachei elokim oilim v'yodim, where there are malachim going up and down. What was the nature of those malachim? What was the nature of their going up and down? What was that about? Rashi gives pshatim, many pshatim that are said, which is because of the fact that something like that actually does reflect a lot of different meanings. We're obviously talking about something esoteric, shaykh to higher spheres. But there's a medrash that says the following. There's a medrash that says that, and here I'm going to quote this without being able to explain it. It says in the Merkava, right, in the heavenly chariot kiviyachol that Hashem sits on, there are four wheels, and each of those four wheels has a different form. And these are the forces kiviyachol that are supporting the Merkava, whatever that means. There's the Pnei Aryeh and the Pnei Nesher and the Pnei Shor. And the fourth is Pnei Kruv. I mean, there's a lion, there's one, and then there's the Nesher, the mighty bird, and then there's the Shor, which is the mightiest of behemoths, right? And then there's the Kruv, which is the person. But there's a specific person there. It's the face of Yaakov Avinu. It's the fourth Galgal HaMerkab. So the Medrash says these malachim were going up and down on the ladder. Yaakov was sleeping here on the floor in Olam Hazeh, right? So coming and looking at his face, and then they were going up to Shemayim to look at the Galgal Revi on the Merkava. And they saw, oh, that's Yaakov Avinu. Coming back and comparing, seeing that the two are identical. What's that about? What's that about? Coming and just comparing. It's the same face. What? Looking at a picture and seeing if it's the same as... So Hirsch and others say something very profound. They were coming to see, is it Taka the same? Meaning, if the Yaakov Avinu down on earth, does he actually have that semblance of the very, very great Yaakov that is being depicted up in that Merkava? Because theoretically, it could be that not. It could be that he did not actually live up to that surah that's on the Merkava. And he looks very different. Obviously, they weren't just looking at the lines of the face, but they were looking at the spiritual picture of the person. Is it identical or not? This is that person. But is it him? Did he get there? This is, and Rav Hirsch adds and says, this process is going on with all of us. Checking up against each of us on an individual level, there was that picture of divinity, that picture of reflecting the Shekhinah, that of each of us bringing out the Shekhinah in our world, in our personal individual way. And the question is that actually happening or not? What are we reflecting? Are we reflecting that Chelek Elikami Mal in its ultimate form? Or not? And to just bring this home with a few other illustrations of the concept. Question. That's the idea. Person will ultimately be shown who is the you that Hashem Kaviyachal was envisioning. Good. So to try to bring the point home a bit more, just think of it in practical terms. You know, sometimes the FBI, when they make these wanted signs, so they know what the person list looked like. He was 23, okay? And he was on the loose. They're still looking for him. It's 25, 30 years later. And they want to, you know, you go to the embassy, you see these signs, and the top 10 most wanted. Now you're looking for a 60-year-old. But they have means of actually projecting what the person should look like now based on the natural processes of life, what the person should look like now at the age of 55. Even the last time he was seen, the last picture they have of him was when he was 23, right? But here we understand that there is a lot of room for variation, right? Because let's say the person ate well, slept well, exercised, and had a good life. And now you look at him when he's 55. He was in good health the whole time. Okay. And then you picture a person who went through unbelievable stresses and was malnourished and was sick. And you look at him at the age of 55, there's going to be no comparing the two pictures. Right? It could be the same person. And it could be two completely different pictures at the age of 55. So there's a certain conjecture there. There's a certain conjecture there that, yeah, you can have the same person, but it's going to be a very, very different look. You know the famous story of Rabbi Yochanan, I believe it was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who, when they bought him, one of the girls who was taken captive at the time of the Churban, and she looked terrible. She looked very ugly, etc. And he had her for a short period of time. He had her cared for and fed, etc. Just it was like an intensive. He put her in an intensive, just bringing her up to date physically. And then it emerged that she was actually a beautiful looking woman. And he said, "The nice Israel, nice hang, right? The daughters of Klal Yisrael are beautiful. Elo sheha, if the lashon is agalus or atzoris min avaltam, it's the tzoris that make them look ugly." So there's a large variation of what this very person could end up looking like. So now let's understand something. When we're sent into this world, this is kind of this is the way to view what we've been discussing. Here it's, the question is, you're sent with a certain likeness, call it a spiritual likeness. Even physically, you can see the difference. Again, you take the same person. You can see on a person's face, by looking at his countenance, if this is a person who has been contented in life and has been engaged in kindliness, etc., right? And you can take a person who, after years of contention, competitiveness, which bears its signs on the person, right? And being mean. Also, you'll see it on the face, but this is already very faint. Right? It doesn't have to be that way, and it's not going to be that distinct. But here we're talking about a spiritual likeness of the person. And the question is, what's the person going to look like? So let's understand. Each of us comes into this world as what the Sfarna calls, and I promised we're going to start getting more into practical terms. I still hope to get there. But we're going to try to get there within the next 5 minutes. We never. Each of us comes into this world with what the Sfarna calls, he translates very interesting, Tzelem Elokim. Each of us is a Tzelem Elokim, right? That's our greatness. But before we get too proud of the fact that we're a Tzelem Elokim, we should look at the Sfarna. Sfarna says, it means each person is a chelek elikam imao, right? He has a certain godliness to him. But he says that the word tselem means raw material. Raw material. Which kind of comes back to the mashal we gave last week about, right, making meat, a pile of meat into an adam, right? Raw material. The question is, are you going to be able to develop that into kiviyachol, the godly being that it's meant to be, something that really reflects Shechina and Elokus? That's the question. So here, when you meet this person 40 years down the line, it could look like you could see Taka, the Shechina shining through the person. If you could see that, right? So we'll see ultimately at the end. Or you can like to see that the meat is well-groomed. Question.
Yeah. So Saras, you said, make the Gnosis Ra'al look ugly. What about Saras on a spiritual level?
Well, first of all, that was on a very physical, right, mushal level. Right? Right. That's not our subject. It was a mushal. But yes, what are you asking?
So here you're spiritually sent down and you're facing tremendous spiritual challenges. Like, what effect is that
going to
have on
you? Oh, so here, what the effect that it's going to have is what we do with it. And here we're talking to us here, meaning I'm not getting into the discussion of what happens if a person doesn't understand the whole concept and doesn't know how to respond to challenges.
But
that's it. That is what shapes the person. That's right. And basically, if you use the mashal, I'm not sure if I said it here, we said it in Shul on Shabbos, it's like taking the person who's put into an exercise gym. A person who's put into an exercise gym is put up against all kinds of challenges. What's the person going to look like at the end? Well, if he pushed against all those challenges, theoretically, let's take an exercise gym that is supposed to mamish, make the person into a bodybuilder if he goes through it through the course of a day, moving from one thing to the next. Doesn't work that way, right? But let's say, okay, you know what? Let's talk about the year, okay? Meet him at the end of the year. If he pushed through all those challenges, you're going to see a person who went in there, a skinny kind of limping being, right? Coming out of there, robust, right? Fit, healthy. You'll see it, right? By pushing against the challenges, by utilizing them, not just that he didn't let the challenges get him down, but he used the challenges to bring it out, right? The guy comes and says, you want me to be fit? Don't make the weight so heavy, make them lighter, then I'll be able to lift them up. You can make them lighter, but then you'll go out the same skinny little guy that you came in, right? You'll go out just as unfit as you came in. You want to make them heavy? We want you to have to push hard. If we make you push hard, you'll come out what you're supposed to look like. So we come into this world, what we'll call a chomri being, okay? A person who is made up of earth, right? Basar v'dam, afar, right? And the question is, how much can we wipe away that layer of earth that looks like who we are and really let the Shekhinah that is deeper inside shine through until ultimately that's what will define us. That's what will characterize us. And here, we'll start putting this into practical terms using a Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says as follows. There's a statement of Chazal, famous statement. Ein divrei Torah miskayamim el b'mi she'einu misatzmo aleihem. Divrei Torah, Torah can only take hold in a person who kills himself over it. What does that mean? Simply understood, it means you have to give it your all. To kill yourself, right? Push, adasov. That is the simple understanding. That's the basic understanding of this Chazal. The Chazon Ish gives a deeper perspective. Amel b'Torah. That's the idea here. You have to be amel, working hard, losing sleep over it, etc. The Chazon Ish takes this to another level. Gives another perspective here. And he says, Memis Atzmai means the following. And here's really where we're getting the mice. Have a person, let's say, who says that, okay, let's take the example of a person who really wants to be fit. Really wants to be fit. We're going to use this as a good, this is always the good mashal for spiritual fitness. He says, yes, go to the doctor. Yes, the doctor, okay, you really want to put in the efforts to become fit? Yes. Oh, you have to change your eating habits. Change my eating habits? I don't mind moving over the times of my meals. No, you have to change what you eat. What does that mean? Okay, you know, all those really heavy, saturated, fatty stuff that you like to eat? Okay, you're going to have to start switching that with lean, whole grain foods. The guy says, one minute, that food is who I am. Right? I'm not willing to stop living in order to become fit. I actually heard somebody say this about smoking. So what are you telling me? If I smoke, I'm going to die 20 years earlier. And if I don't, then I'm going to live for another 20 years. But it's not worth it for me to live the extra 20 years if all those years are going to be without smoking. Someone said this to me in a serious way. Meaning, this is what life is for me. This is who I am. You want me to just like completely give up on who I am? I can't do that. So the Chazon Ish says we have all kinds of different midas and desires that we naturally live with, and we think, this is who I am. The Chazon Ish says, so take that person, that superficial person, who part of his identity is, I can't handle if a person says a provocative word for me. I explode. That's who I am. If a person says something to me, I give it back to them three times. That's who I am. So Chazon Ish says, that's who you am, so kill you. Because it's not really who you are. That's a superficial you. You never saw anything deeper. You never saw the real you, and therefore you think that this is you. So you think that's who you are? So yeah, kill that you, and you'll suddenly discover that you're not dead, that you've actually accessed a deeper level of who you are, a deeper, richer level of yourself. So he says, Ahamemis es atzmoi on the level of shitchius achayim. It says, Lashon Chazon Ish has these beautifully poetic style. He says, you kill the superficial you and suddenly you'll discover a much deeper level of you. You'll discover a deeper you, a richer you that you didn't know existed because it was blocked by that superficial level of who you thought was you. So here we're coming really to the subject of transforming who we are in the realm of Midas, Avodas Hashem, remaking ourselves according to Hashem's dictates. So here you have a person, right? The Torah basically wants us to be involved with the family, which means, I'll just use this as one example, giving up on a lot of your own pampering in order to be giving to others. So now let's just take this in this perspective. What we're saying is, I have the person who just wants to live for themselves. I'm here, I want to enjoy life. Whatever money I make, I don't want to have to disperse that, you know, a bunch caring for a bunch of kids. I don't even want to have to use, you know, I don't want a spouse to come at the expense of any of the money I make, because I want to live life optimally. I want to live life to the fullest. And here you have the person who says, no, I'm not going to be living a life to the fullest. I'm going to be pushing aside a little bit of my own self here and bringing out more giving from myself. So you know what's actually going on here? You're wiping away, you're scrubbing away some of that chomrius. That's the you living up life to the fullest. You're wiping that away and letting nesina, chesed, right, take its place, which is actually a midah, a divine midah. You're allowing some of that divinity now to shine through you. And you are becoming more eloki. You're becoming more godly. More of that midah of Hashem is flowing through you now. It's the deeper you. The deeper you is that noisein inside you. The one who actually has those midas of Hashem. Hashem is the ultimate mate, the ultimate Baal Chesed, right? I don't feel that way naturally. I feel like I want to get. And whatever I have, I want to use for myself. So if you can scrub away some of that, and you'll access within you that chedek elekami mal, which is just being mate, which is giving. There's more shechina now flowing through you. There's more shechina radiating from you, shining from you. If someone were able to look at you with spiritual glasses now, they'd see a much more eloki you, a much more divine you than the natural, fleshy, earthy you that you were originally. Now you're not defined by that. As long as you're still here, the flesh and the earth is still there. But when we're looking at you in the spiritual picture, you're not defined by that. You are Shechina shining through the Chelek Elikam Imao, the Shechina shining through you. Now this is really the depth behind the whole issue of Avodas HaMidos. When we talk about Midos, it's not about, most basic level is, you have to be nice to the people around you. But understand that that's for a much deeper purpose. It's for you to be that much more of just a conduit of Shechina, rather than just a hunk of earth, right? And the more you can bring that out, the more you can, yes, someone provoked you. Someone provoked you. And again, me? I can't handle that. It's not who I am, right? I'm a very nice guy, as long as you don't get on my bad side. But once you get on my bad side, that's just saying, okay, tackle that bad side, right? Scrub it away, scrub it away. Now when someone actually does say that mean word, just take that deep breath, and you're suppressing the you. You are, you know, ready to explode, but you're pushing that you down. You're pushing that you down, and now a different you is shining forth. It's the you of Shalom. It's that deeper level of you, which was up till now being obscured by that layer of earth, right? But this is the you that's already reflecting the Chelek Elikam Imal. You see, the mid of Shalom is now flowing through you. The mid of Anova, yes. Offending me is not the cardinal sin, worse than the Gimel Averes Chamuras, right? It can go by because I'm lowering myself, moving my ego out of the way. The more you can move your ego out of the way, the more the Shechina that is deeper within can shine through. This extends to all of Avodas HaMidos, right? We'll take another area of Avodas HaMidos, which is not a matter of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. There's all kinds of other such means. The person right there who's tempted by some food that has a questionable hechsher. So there's the taste bud in me, right? And I kind of move that to the side and say, wait a minute, I want to make sure that I'm doing the optimal Ratzon Hashem here. So first of all, I made myself more divine by the fact that I'm not controlled by my desires. My desire to eat, I'm harnessing it. I'm pulling it under my control. Who's my control? That higher being. I'm going to use it when it ought to be used. All of our desires have their place where they ought to be implemented. But on the earthly level, it's the other way around. see food, the earthly level is pulled toward it like the magnet, that food that attracts me. But I'm pushing that aspect of me out of the way. But I should be in a place where there's cheesecake and I'm not going to eat it. That's not me. I am cheesecake, right? I said, that's right. Get rid of that you. Get rid of that you, and you'll discover a deeper, richer you. The one who is able to be more divine in the sense that, no, I am not controlled by cheesecake. I control the cheesecake. When I decide that now it's time to have some because of my disciplined approach of understanding when is the right time for what, then I have it. But it's not the presence of the cheesecake that dictates it to me. So again, you're getting rid of that earthy you and you're letting the more divine you shine through. This is how it is with many, many things. It's also issues of diktuk of halacha, right? You're sitting at the Shabbos table and you want to just enjoy and eat the salad normally. And then there's a pit there and you have to start figuring out how to eat the salad in the right way, not to take the pit out in the wrong way. And you have the koach, you just want to eat. So the being that doesn't have the koach and just wants to eat, right, there's that more earthy side of you. As soon as you said, wait, is Ratzon Hashem trying to make its way in here? I'm going to push the earthiness out of the way, let the Ratzon Hashem shine through. Once again, Ratzon Hashem is shining through me now. Anytime, what's really going on, we've been talking about suppressing the you in order to let the Ratzon Hashem shine through. Well, let's remember that that's not really what it is. That's a misnomer. It's suppressing the superficial you, the you who you think you are, and letting the deeper you shine through. The way the Kuzari talks about it, the way the Ramban talks about it, is that you are a tug of war. That's what you are. Isn't that a funny way of defining a person? But according to the Kuzari and the Ramban, that is a major fundamental definition of what an Adam is. There is the most intelligent beast aspect of him, right? The most sophisticated, intelligent chaya. And then there is the nesham. And there's a tug of war. And the question is, am I going to manage to contain that chaya in order to let the neshama really take hold? And I will be defined by my neshama. Then what does that chaya become? You don't kill the chaya. On the contrary, it becomes a very powerful tool and vehicle of the neshama's agenda. Right? So yes, by pushing the chaya's reign out of the way, I enable it to become something that is servicing the neshama. There was a famous incident where Rabbi Yochanan Lubavitch, one of the greatest Bali Musa, he once came to a town. And they asked him, everyone, a great famous Mashkiach of Mir is coming to town. They asked him to speak in the shul on Shabbos. He wasn't enthusiastic about doing so. He said, I speak to my Talmidim who understand my language. I don't know. They pushed. Okay. So he got up and gave one of his penetrating shmuzim. And the people started fidgeting until it reached a point where they just didn't want to hear anymore. Many people just got up and started walking out. They felt offended by things he was saying. And they got up and they walked out. And had a few of his Talmidim who were there afterwards, and they said, how did you feel about that? So he told them, he said, apparently, so when the Europeans first came to Native America, this was the Spanish, I don't know exactly the history. So apparently, the natives there had never actually used horses. They learned to use horses after they saw the Europeans doing it. And the first time they saw horsemen, they got so terrified, they thought that there was some new being coming. Some spirit, some whatever. It looks like a half man, and then the bottom is beast. And they were terrified until they learned that there's actually two things going on here. But he said, all of us is like a man on a horse. Just not all of us understand that there are two parts. Some think that there's a horse, right? Really, it's just one big horse and not even aware that there's a man riding on it. And therefore, if you say the horse is an animal, they think you're offending them. So basically what I was doing there in the shul was saying, a horse is an animal, meaning someone who does XYZ, right? It's an animal. They thought I was talking about them. They were offended. Can't blame them. I wasn't talking about them. I was talking about the horse. I was talking to the person and talking about the horse he's sitting on. Why should the person get offended if I'm talking about the horse? And this is the idea. To learn to differentiate between, I want to be the person riding the horse in all of those various aspects of midas, self-control, of letting Ratzon Hashem rule over that horse. And the horse can be a very powerful vehicle. But you want to get it under the control of the neshama. Then you take on a whole different look. Now you are a neshama riding a horse rather than the horse being the predominant picture here. So this is what we're talking about. When we're talking about, this is really one aspect of what we're talking about. When we're talking about letting the real you shine through, we're talking about that deeper you, the chelek of the coming mile. This is what Hashem wants to see. This is, as we discussed, what Hashem considers the greatest bria that he ever created is that. That's the greatest wonder that can happen in our world. And in our world, that a person can take Hashem's program and apply it to take that pile of earth and flesh and bones and to turn it into that bria elikis. So this is a matter of, like we said, it's a matter of avodas hamidus. It's a matter of everywhere, every instance where we allow the Ratzon Hashem to shine through us and move aside something else that would have more naturally been in the way. I felt like doing this, but I pushed that aside in order to let the Ratzon Hashem shine through. I am now defined as that Ratzon Hashem. I'm now a carrier of Ratzon Hashem, which basically means I'm a carrier of the Shekhinah on this earth. And I'm not just that superficial me, that earthy fleshy me who just wants what earth and flesh likes. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about bringing out our true selves and presenting Hashem with, what does Hashem want to see? What does Hashem want to see? This comes back to what we started with. That is the famous statement. This is basically the point that Rebbetzin Shvei made earlier. There's a famous statement that Naftali Amsterdam once said to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was teaching about standards and higher standards and higher standards. He was getting overwhelmed. And he said, if I would have the mind of the Shagas Aryeh, like known for his genius, and I would have the heart of the Yisrael Nishara Shavoid, I don't know if anybody ever learned the Yisrael Nishara Shavoid, it's just a passionate savor that breathes fire. Right? So I have the mind of the Shagas Aryeh and the heart of the Yisod Mishere Shavoida. And Rabbi Yisrael said, your control over your midas, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I'd be in position to serve Hashem right. So Rabbi Yisrael told him, Hashem already had a Shagas Aryeh. He already had a Yisod Mishere Shavoida. And he already has a Yisrael Salanter. And he wants to be, see, what can Reb Naftali become in all these areas? I doesn't want him to become a Shagas Aryeh. So this is the, for each of us, Hashem has that very specific, personal, individual vision for us, which comes from, like we said, taking all of our life circumstances, every moment of life really, and seeing where can I allow the Elokus, the Shekhinah to come through, instead of just my earthly, fleshy existence. And the more we do that, the more we are living up to that very, very great title, to Hashem's whole vision in creating the world of the Naaseh Adam, of that superior title, greater than all the Malachim, that's called Adam. Mezas Hashem, let's be zeichet to come to Rosh Hashanah, each of us presenting Hashem with that unique Adam that we can be, which is something that for which Hashem says, for this, it's worth creating an entire universe. Butavach.
Thank you very much, Akutavach.
Yeah, Akutavach.